Welcome to Life and Sirens, Behind and On the Scene, a podcast by first responders. We're your hosts, Sophie,
Jamie,
and Aubrey.
The content provided in this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered medical advice. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the official policies or positions of any medical institutions, emergency medical services, or healthcare organizations. Patient privacy is a top priority, and all discussions involving real-world emergency situations are de-identified and altered to ensure confidentiality. Always consult with a qualified healthcare professional or your local EMS protocols before making any decisions regarding patient care or medical practices. Listener discretion is advised, as some topics may include discussions of real-world emergency situations.
Welcome to this week's episode of Life and Sirens. This week we're going to be talking about ageism in EMS and its impact on young providers. Age is just a number, or is it? In EMS, generational divides run deep and ageism may be pushing young providers away before they even get started. In this episode, we're going to highlight some key points. We're going to talk about generational divide, burnout culture, and fostering a supportive environment. And I know that probably everybody listening has had one or more of those experiences.
Let's get things started by talking about the generational divide in EMS. I think there's a pretty big one, and it's almost like a battle. I don't know. I know a lot of us, I don't know if any listeners are, but the three of us are very involved in social media, and we have social media accounts, and man, people will just, they just fight each other about this way's better, that way's better, and the young person to the older person is always wrong, and the older person to the younger person is always, it's exhausting, guys. Let's just teamwork. It's okay. No one's going to be perfectly right all the time, and there's no perfect way to do everything.
And I feel like age in EMS becomes such a factor because when we think about our older generations, they were the pioneers of EMS. And so there's so much change, but is it good? Is it bad? Is it what they're used to? And I think that when younger people come in and they're like, no, we're going to do it this way, or we should start changing and doing it this way, it's almost like a shot to their ego.
Right.
That they feel like those younger people are saying, like, the way that you do it is not good enough.
Well, and I also feel like older providers, they typically associate competence with age. But we all know, we've gone to EMT or paramedic school with people who are twice our age when they got started. So it's not always the most important factor. How long you've been on this earth, maybe how long you've been in the field.
Correct.
Two different things.
Yes.
And I think it's important with especially younger providers, not necessarily less time. I think that we need to make sure, like Joseph just said, do not equate age and experience, because you can be 24, but you started when you were 18. So you have 6 years. Like, it's a little bit different, but they give fresh perspectives to issues that we've had throughout EMS for a long time.
I think also we hear a lot like you have to earn your place. You have to earn your spot. What does that mean? Whenever people are saying that, they can't define that for you. I don't know what that means. You've seen enough war? I don't know. Like, what does that mean?
You've hit enough things with the ambulance?
Yeah,
I don't
right.
know.
Been
exactly.
enough blood and guts involved.
So I think that we hear it a lot. It's like, well, they haven't earned that. I don't really know what that means, but I think hard work, enthusiasm, and excitement about the job and competence is enough earned. I think that you have earned it. If you are showing competency, you're doing all these extra things, going the extra mile, I don't care how old you are. And I think when we make these landmarks of you have to reach this age before you do this, that's a little ridiculous, and it makes younger providers feel like they can't participate. And I think that's why we see less younger providers participating, because they immediately get shot down.
In some services, I just thought about this, in some services, they want you to be older to promote than you have to be the president of the United States.
That's a really good point.
Oh my gosh.
Like, you only have to be 35 years old to
right.
be able to be eligible.
To run the entire country.
To be the president of the United States. And they're like, you're too young.
You're
and
not
you're like
60
36.
Yet. You have to reach retirement age.
Right. So if we think that somebody, as a country and concept, if we think somebody has enough life experience to potentially run the country, I think that we could probably like promote them to like a position,
yeah.
like an education position or something like that.
everyone's life experience looks differently. You guys probably know nothing about us, really, if you're listening to this, but life experience doesn't just always come with age. People can experience it. There's things that some of us in this room have experienced that people will never experience in their lives. Like, just because someone's not older doesn't mean they haven't experienced maybe even more than you. I completely agree. People are going to come for me in the comments. But there is wisdom that comes with age and grace that comes with age, typically. Unless you become older and you just start arguing with everyone on the internet. That's a little weird. It does happen. But I'm not saying that age doesn't equate to wisdom, because we learn from mistakes and things like that. But there's not this tall to ride. There shouldn't be. I feel like that's what we're acting like.
I agree.
I think that a lot of this is lost systemically in EMS. Like, it's not necessarily so much you're 22 years old and you're a paramedic on the truck and I don't trust you to save people's lives, but this younger generation or new medics that come up and they go through school and they get on the truck and they see gaps or places that can be improved in EMS, and often that's taken to administration and it's shot down at that level because of their age. Like, oh, you just got here. I can't even listen to your idea because you just got here. When, like, those are the ideas that you need.
Right.
That's what's going to make your system better.
Especially. And if you have a young provider that is coming to you and saying, hey, this is a gap I've realized, and I feel like a lot more people than just me are struggling with it, that should tell you that it's even that much more of a gap, because they are new and they're not used to the day in, day out. And so sometimes that fresh perspective of somebody that hasn't been on the truck for 20 years can show you where your gaps are. I don't like change. I'm not great at it. And I started hanging out with these two, and they know a lot about technology and a lot about social media and a lot of things that I am just a granny about. And it has been so cool, because instead of being really resistant to it, I started to learn. And we're only like 5 years apart in age. And so I can't imagine being 20 years older than me and being brought all these new ideas. But the thing is, it's only scary if you're not willing to learn it. And I think that's a huge thing when younger people bring things into EMS. Like, hey, what if we use AI? What if we use these different softwares? What if we change our ambulance layout? It's change. But if you're too afraid to learn new techniques and new technology, then you could be very resistant to it.
Well, and if you make that your culture, where we're going to be constantly evolving and updating and growing, then maybe people wouldn't be so adverse to it. If we are continually growing for the better and making sure we're doing best by our providers on the street and our patients, that's our culture. I'm sorry if there's changes, but that is the culture here at this service. And I feel like that should be, you know, EMS-wide. Like, it's okay to change. I also get frustrated with change, especially when it wasn't my idea. But, I mean, that's just the sake of medicine. Like, that's just how it is. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know who needs to hear this, but medicine is not concrete. It never has been, and it never will be. And thank God we're not still putting leeches on people. So
we are. That's still a thing.
We still do that.
Thank God that we're not. What don't we do anymore?
I think
we still do.
We don't shoot people in the chest.
We do still do lobotomies.
We don't do heart epi.
Yeah.
We still generally do OB the exact same way we did in like the 1800s.
Okay,
actually,
so
worse now.
Maybe I lied. Maybe medicine is concrete.
Let's talk about how this divide brings tension in the workplace.
I think that if you have a young provider that brings an issue to your attention with a solution, and that is continually shot down, then eventually that provider will stop bringing things to your attention. And they might become an old provider, but that mindset of being shot down every time is still going to be there. They're not going to reach the age of 40 and be like, now they'll listen to me, so I'm going to start bringing things to their attention.
Nope.
No, they're just going to be more experienced and complacent and be unwilling to seek change, because why would they? They've never gotten change before.
Well, and not only does it have that effect, but also when you don't listen to your crews and your teams and your providers, like, people are just like, well, they don't care about me. They don't even care enough to listen. That also negatively affects your culture, because you have all these providers, which most services in our area, I would say, there's a huge gap in the middle. There's a lot of young providers and a lot of older providers who have been here for a while. And then there's like this weird gap in the middle, which I don't know what happened. People said we hate EMS, we're not doing it. I don't know.
I think your point that there's a huge gap in the middle makes a lot of sense, because people are willing to put up with quite a bit until it just becomes like they realize that they actually aren't making a difference, and then they're not willing to put up with it
and
anymore.
And no one will let them make a difference.
And so the older providers are the ones that started EMS. And so there was change. It was always changing. It was constant change. And then that slowed down. But by the time it started to slow down a little bit, they were 15 years in and everyone's staying at that point. And then you have the younger providers that are like, this career looks really, really cool. I'm going to be it. And a lot of us are between that 5 and 10 year mark now. Well, then you have the 10 to 15 year mark. And that is when I think you are like, if I'm going to leave, I have to do it now because retirement. And is this actually something I'm willing to keep putting all of my energy into and have nothing pour back to me? And I think that's when people decide that they give up.
Yeah.
So they did their time. They put in the amount of energy that they kept being told they had to in order to make it anywhere. And they said, guess what? We're still not listening to you. And then they either, one, want more opportunity, so they will go somewhere that gives them that, or they go seek a higher level of licensure in a different part of the profession. And I think we see that a lot with providers, because they're like, ah, this isn't working.
Yeah, I think if you're a leader in any type of way in EMS and you have this, I don't know how to say this without like sounding like a jerk, but if you have the idea that, which I see this a lot, I think we all do, you just deserve the spot you're in because you've been here a while. That's freaking weird. Say that out loud to yourself. That's strange. But when you have those complacent leaders who aren't taking, you know, recommendations or advice or, you know, enthusiastic recommendations for change from younger providers, everyone's going to hate you. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to respect you. Like, you're not going to get very far being a leader like that. I have experienced it on the other end of things where you bring things to their attention, and sometimes I don't even get a response at all. That drives me crazy. I'm like, can you just be like, that was a bad idea? Mm-hmm. Just say, it wasn't a bad idea. Okay.
Right. You know, like recently,
just talk I've
heard
to your people.
Quite a bit that I have just been really interested on how this makes sense in a leadership role. But recently, when bringing things to attention and leadership and things like that, I've heard the phrase, that's going to be a lot of work for me.
You're exactly right. Anything that is worth doing is hard work. I'm so sorry to break it to you.
Yeah. And I think that to me, when someone's bringing you something that will improve the quality of work for not just them, but for the entirety of the providers that work in that system.
Not only that system, like you can be we were the first for something. Like our service was the first in the lower 48 to do 72s.
Yeah. To do 24/72s.
Like, your changes in your own service can change the entire structure of EMS for the country.
Absolutely. Which is very cool. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to participate in that?
Right. That's the concept for me. Anything worth doing is going to be work. And so if people are bringing something to you, and that may just be a communication issue. Like if people are bringing something to you and you're like, yeah, that's going to be a lot of work for me. You might mean I currently have other things with a higher priority and I don't have time to prioritize that. But that's where you delegate, and that's where you use leadership skills to make sure that they know that their input is valued. And that's a big problem, I think. And it ties into the complacency. You've been here a long time. You get this promotion, but you want to do the 40 hours and you want to go home and you don't want to put in the extra time. And I think that's where our issue is. Like the passion, you lose it at some point.
You lose it when it's not fostered and continued to be like supported and encouraged. I think that it can stay. Can be in love with someone for your whole life. Mm-hmm. Could be in love with this job for your whole life, but it's hard when people are constantly saying, no, that's not a good idea. No, I don't care about your ideas. No, sorry, it's hard for you on the truck. We're not going to do anything about that. Or like, you're too young to have opinions about this. And like, when you hear those things over and over again, that contributes to burnout. You know, when people come and they get really excited, a student comes and they ride on the truck with you and they're really excited to do a certain kind of call, or they're really excited to do a skill for the first time. When we like excuse excitement and put people down for being excited, it's really easy to lose your love for anything.
I think that bridges perfectly into like our second segment, that burnout, it affects mentorship, or it affects leadership is another way that you can say that. And so you see it, the process that I'm very interested in is how You start, you're very enthusiastic. Like the sirens just get you pumped.
Yeah, and then the tone drop.
Right? Then you stay in this for a little while. You elevate your licensure. And you start to get passionate about other parts of that job that are a little bit more in depth. And then that fuels you to want to improve the career that you're working in. And that fuels you to want to improve the place in which you're working. And you go through this and say you're between that 5 and 10 year mark and you want to start to make change. And that change is not heard. Or when that change is not accepted with enthusiasm, it's very cautious. Like, maybe we could think about it.
Apathetic.
Yes. Maybe? Like an apathetic acceptance. I think that leads you to burnout in trying to improve your workplace. And then by the time you reach the appropriate age that they deem good enough to be able to be promoted, you don't care.
Yeah.
You don't like being on the truck anymore. You don't have a passion to improve the place you work. Now you actually have the power to do it, but you're not really that interested in it anymore. When we're focused on age and not quantitative and qualitative experience, you put yourself kind of in a box. You back yourself into a corner where you have leaders that are 10 years from retirement or 5 years from retirement that are just trying to make it through with a higher pay scale.
Yeah.
And that becomes so problematic in the long run. And I also think it's important to discuss that age looks different on men than it does on women.
Absolutely it does. I could ramble on for hours about this, but I won't. But I have strong feelings about that. A young woman is never going to be, in our current culture, viewed the same way as a young man.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we are going to generally look younger than men, probably. But when we wait, or I shouldn't say when we wait, when we let men be promoted over and over again because they seem older, that's the whole thing, too, is like, I'm just perceived as younger. Like, that's just your perception about the way I look. Mm-hmm. Like, what? You don't... Did I tell you how old I was? No, that's just your perception of my age based on the way I look.
Yeah. In the past, I've been a part of a system that when looking for a promotion, I was told that I was too young to get that promotion. But somebody that already held that position actually was the same age that I was only a year prior when they got promoted into that position. So it was perceived age. And until I pointed that fun fact out, they were like, oh, we didn't even know.
Yes, you shouldn't know because you shouldn't be using anyone's age as a way to promote, demote, whatever it is. First of all, it is illegal to do that based on like senior age. So why is it not to do it the opposite way?
And at the very least, it should make you think, is this actually as important as what I think it is?
Well, and to me, I would rather, which I'm not, I am in leadership in other places of my life, but not specifically in an EMS system. But for me, if I was going to be promoting or hiring, why wouldn't I want the one that's going to be here for a long, long time and is still enthusiastic and passionate about what they're doing? Like, that's weird. If you want to think about it from an age standpoint, they're going to be here longer. They're going to be here longer serving as a leader if I promote them younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, invest in your young providers. They're the ones that are going to carry you through. And I'd like to point out that our older providers that are in that 25, 30 year, 35 year, we even have 40 year providers.
We do.
That have been in this in 40 years. The ones that really love this still, they do invest in younger providers.
And it's so cute.
Yes. You see them encouraging new medics and being like, I know it seems really hard. You're going to get the hang of it. You see them asking students that are in paramedic school, hey, what are you learning? We didn't learn this when I was in school. Can you walk me through it? We have a provider that we absolutely love. Her name's Betsy.
Betsy! We talk about Betsy on this podcast often because she's our hero.
She's so stinking cute. I never will forget it. When I was in paramedic school, she asked me, she's like, what are you learning? And I was like, well, we're doing 12 leads right now. And she was like, can we go through them? She's like, it's been a while since I've looked at it. They didn't teach it to us in school. And like, I know them, but I would like to review. And I was like, oh, yeah. So we talked about it. And I got to teach her things and she got to teach me things. And it was a really cool moment to be like, okay, like you're in that moment, she invested in me really well.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it.
And that's a really good example of like a growth partnership or a growth mentorship where you're both teaching each other things. And I think that is kind of the whole idea. It's like the older generation has so much they can teach us, but some of them are just too burnt out to do it. And then so many of us younger providers have so much that we can also teach. But it's so often that you hear, well, just wait a few years, you'll think differently, or wait a few years, blah, 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 nonsense. And I often hear, like, you're too young to teach. No one is too young to teach anybody anything. Mm-mm. We should be teaching the people around us all kinds of things. And it doesn't have to do with just, like, skills and things like that. We can learn from anyone. You can learn from people with lower license, younger ages, older ages. Like, chill. Mm-hmm. Just chill. I think that comes from, like, a superiority complex.
It's an ego thing.
And I think a lot of it is.
If both sides would put ego away, like if both the younger providers that are that, I mean, you have all of that like superhero mentality and stuff still. But if the younger providers would put down their ego and then the older providers would put theirs down as well, then you can have a conversation where you can talk about things that you both don't know or things that you both do know and share knowledge. And it can be a really beautiful partnership. And that's kind of the point of what we're talking about, is how to encourage both directions to participate.
Yes, nothing gets done when you're just trying to see who can bark louder.
I think that experience, so if you pointed out earlier that when we talk about experience, it can be somebody really young can live a whole life that somebody else hasn't lived. And if you live like a really nice, privileged life, you might have far less worldly experience than somebody that went through a lot in youth. And I think that's important when you look at providers. So if I am a 20-year provider and I ran like a call a day for like a call a shift for most of my career, my like clinical practical experience is going to be less than somebody that's only been on a truck for 5 years, but they run 20 calls a day.
Which happens all the time.
It's not a comment on value. It's not that your experience is less valued. But you have to remember that like volume and how many things you've done, the same way with how hard your life has been, you can see a lot in a 5-year career if you have a really high volume and if you work at a system that kind of provides that both acuity and volume. And so I think that that is important to remember.
I think that respect has a lot to do with this. And I know that we've already talked about it a little bit, but you have these very young providers that come in that are all gung-ho. And Lord, I know that I've been this person that have come in and wanted to change the world and change everything, and why do we do this, and this is stupid, and let's get rid of this and let's do it this way.
You took my nitro off the bench seat.
Don't even get me started on nitro and aspirin on the bench seat. But you also have these older providers that there is comfort. They're the ones that made it this way. And if you have this young little whippersnapper who's coming up in here being like, this is dumb, we're going to change it and do it this way because this doesn't even make sense.
Sometimes it is dumb, guys. I hate to break it to you.
Sometimes it is dumb, but again, reflecting back on our last week's episode, it is all about communication. It's all about how you communicate that and present that to your admin, to the older generation, to your coworkers. Everything has to be done with respect. That's the only way we're ever going to be able to cohesively change things in this career.
I think that's all anyone wants, is respect and to be heard and to be valued.
Correct.
That is all anyone's asking for. And if you can provide those two things, a listening ear and general respect to older, younger, whatever, then you're going to be winning as a leader. I think the reason why there is such a gap too with communication is, like, if you look historically at older generations and what they were taught and how they were raised, expressing things effectively wasn't on the top of the to-do list.
No.
That's not, it's not their fault that that's how that is, but you do still have a responsibility to learn.
Absolutely. I think for older providers, if you look back at when you were the younger provider, when you were the baby, how many things did you want to change? How many things were you like, we can do this better? I'm sure a lot.
I mean, it has changed significantly, so I'd say there's no way that's not true.
I'd say quite a bit. And in those moments that you were unsuccessful because you were just the baby or the whippersnapper or whatever it was, do you truly feel like you were wrong in that moment? Or did those things change later on down the road in the same way that you wanted it to a couple years before? And take that energy and match it with like these new babies and the new babies. And by new babies, I mean 10 years and under.
Yeah.
But by people with this level of experience, take the energy you have now as a younger provider being like, man, I think I have really good ideas, but I can't get anyone to listen to me. When you're the older provider, don't forget that.
Absolutely.
Remember that and encourage the ones that are younger than you. Because even now with where I am, I'll be like, they're just a baby. They don't know. And I have to check myself.
Yeah.
Because to some people, I'm just a baby that doesn't know.
Yeah. Self-awareness and self-reflection. That's a big part of it, too. Again, I think there's a generational gap when it comes to like that kind of way of thinking. It just has changed a lot. But for older providers, let's take a moment to reflect. Are you encouraging or discouraging the next generation of EMS providers? And what can you do to help them succeed? Right? This is your legacy. You don't want to leave it empty and hopeless, right? It's still your legacy. And then for younger providers, don't let discouragement dim your passion. Stay eager, keep learning, and seek out allies who see your value. I think the three of us have experienced that significantly in the last, 6 months to a year, is there are people that will listen. It just might not be the first time you ask. Just have to keep asking. And then for leaders, leadership begins with bridging gaps. Age is no excuse for division. We need everyone working together to create a stronger EMS system. And that's a big responsibility, a heavy responsibility. So if you're not ready to participate and to advocate for leaders and providers of all ages, then you're not ready to be a leader. And that's okay.
This is for anybody who is in any sort of leadership in EMS. The phrase that we're just going to do it this way because this is the way that we've always done it should be the most ridiculous phrase that ever comes out of your mouth, because
it should never come out of your mouth.
Correct. But you should feel ridiculous if it ever does, because EMS has only existed for what, at most 60 years?
1972 in our state.
Amen and amen. For that long. And it is asinine to think that we are not going to evolve past the point that we are right now. So if our answer for change is, well, that's, no, we're not changing because that's the way we've always done it, that's crazy talk. That's wild. You should probably listen.
Yeah, that's, probably that's kind of embarrassing if you are saying
it really is.
That's like sitting in a dirt cabin and being like, we do not want more running water because this
dirt floor is
fine.
We've done just fine until now.
Correct.
And this is my like soapbox. Just because you're doing better than the worst does not mean you're excelling. Just because you're doing better than the worst doesn't mean you're doing well at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stop saying that. Well, other places are worse. Oh, that's terrible. We're not going to be anything close to that.
Yeah, that should not be our standard. Mm-hmm. We are better than the worst. Well, you know, it's not rock bottom, but it's not good.
It's not. We're not. We are not.
Also,
doing well.
Please, for the love of all that is holy, if you are in a leadership position, please stop being scared of technology.
It's not the enemy. It can't be the enemy, man.
No. And if you don't understand it, because this is coming from somebody that has a hard time understanding it, and I have to learn and Google and ask and sit down and be like, can you please show me this? It's not that scary. And just do it. Let technology help you. Let it help your providers. I will promise you that whatever technology you're going to implement is not going to have as much error as the human brain. And so use your brain when it's better than technology, and use technology when it's better than the brain.
I love that.
I love that too. Put that on a t-shirt.
Take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. We would love to hear your stories, whether you're from the younger generation or the older providers. Working together is so important. So we need to hear both sides of the story. If you'd like to send us your stories, experiences, good, bad, ugly, we'd love to hear it all. You can send those to lifeandsirenspod@gmail.com. That's lifeandsirenspod@gmail.com. And with that, every generation has something to teach to the next. Together, we will create a future of EMS that is spectacular. Thanks for joining in. And don't forget to follow us on all of our socials, including Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, and a website coming soon at Aubrey.
Yes.
This has been Life and Sirens, produced by three nerds trying to bring you content that you might actually care about.